After analyzing how undergraduates use their meal cards in the university cafeteria, Nanjing University of Science and Technology has injected cash into the meal cards of 301 students. Is big data collection a viable solution for financial support on campus? Guys, how is data collection used in zeroing in and finding these students that need financial support?
Well, they took a look at people who went to the cafeteria and they analyzed how they spent their money there. They looked at people who had spent on more than 60 meals and spent less than 420 yuan there every month. And then they figured out from there, okay, well, these people probably are relatively poor. And the thought was, well, we'll set a benchmark of 630 yuan a month. That's the average cost they figured of the food if they ate in the canteen for 3 months, or excuse me, 3 meals a day per month. And given that the average cost would be 7 yuan per meal. So they figured, you know what? If you're spending less than this amount, you're probably, they're thinking anyway, not very well off and perhaps deserving of some financial aid.
Right, I think a lot of media organizations are trying to create some of the hype there using this fancy word called big data because, you know, it seems to be very popular these days. Yet I do applaud such move initiated by the school authority because we have been using the meal cards for so many years, and finally we see this Nanjing University of Science and Technology has been capitalizing on some of the very useful data generated by the meal cards, and which is a very good thing. And I think it has cut the red tape, because originally, you know, I have my fellow schoolmates who have been applying for getting this financial aid have to fill out the forms, and the procedure is very long, painstaking and very complicated. They have to conduct, you know, many interviews, have the certificates with the stamped, certificates with the stamp of their communities, local communities. But now, you know, with this technology, it has become much simpler.
Okay, I think you make a really good point in that finally someone's making use of the so-called big data. Actually, those fancy new terms in technology and business, it really puts me off, because I think it's really just making fancy terms of something that's not really all that fancy. But anyway, that being said, do you think that mining on big data in this way, just looking at how students are spending using their meal cards in the school cafeteria, is a good way in identifying these people in need? Because I know some of these students, are they spoiled or something, that they hate cafeteria food, regardless of how much their family is earning and giving them? So is this a good way to judge how much these people have in their pockets?
Well, there are some problems there. I mean, aside from the fact that most people seem not to like cafeteria food in general, there could be people like me who are a little bit cheap, a little bit stingy, and even if you have, more than enough money to get the basic minimum there, still might choose to spend on the lower side. So some of those people who are spending a very little amount of money may not actually be poor. The other thing is, there might be students who are not well off who are not even going to the cafeteria. Maybe they're getting takeout, or maybe even more likely, if they have the means, they're cooking the food for themselves, because that might actually be the cheapest way to do it.
That's interesting. And our WeChat listener, Wu Weixun Zhou, literally sent in one message 5 seconds ago and said, maybe the student just eats outside or is on a diet.
So, diet, okay.
Yeah, and if we're talking about diet, actually, one small piece of information that I like to tell everyone is, when you're in university, that's the best time to lose some weight, because once you start working, you don't have that much time.
Yeah,
anyway, that's completely off topic, but, you know, useful information for everyone. So back to this topic, do you think that this is going to be useful?
I think you both of you have raised some very valid points just now, but I think according to the school authority, there's also my perspective that canteens are actually the favored place for a lot of students. I mean, you can't buy cheaper food elsewhere than the school cafeteria, is that right?
You could just buy vegetables and whatnot and make your own food.
See, there might.
But you have to have the utilities.
That is true, and I feel like probably the majority of students don't have those unless you want to buy one of those. What is it?
The cooker thing.
One of those, or the electric stoves. Those sorts of things, which are not always allowed in dorms.
And you have to rent an apartment if you want to cook yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those electric.
Electric stoves, maybe.
Thing.
Yeah.
And if many people use it in the dorm, then it will paralyze the grid,
yeah, blackouts.
And that's not allowed for most universities.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think we've pointed out a lot of the loopholes with this. This new way of identifying who's in need, because it's probably useful in one way, but it's certainly not a very comprehensive way to judge who needs a little bit more support. Okay, you seem to have something to say, Lu Yu.
Right, and I don't think meal cards should be serving as the only viable means for those school authorities to check out whether you are impoverished child or not, right?
And just one small question: does this financial support given is it just helping you with the meals?
Yeah,
or
just
the meals.
Yeah.
Okay, so
it's actually a fund initiated by this school authority. The total amount is 1 million yuan, and at the same time, some alumni are very warm-hearted, so they have donated another 50,000 kuai. So basically, altogether, it's about 1.05 million yuan specifically designed for those students who are from underprivileged families, yet at the same time, they cannot have very good food in their school life.
Yeah, I mean, it might be helpful. There's a lot of issues there, and my first thought is this isn't a very good way of doing it, because when I think about how it is in the U.S., if you go to university and you apply for financial aid, there's, again, a lot of forms, like in China, but you provide your parents' tax records, and that's a pretty good way, pretty clear way to say how much money you have, you know, what your actual financial situation is. In China, I think you don't really have, or people don't, you know, do their taxes every year and whatnot, so there's not as much just forms and data out there to prove things. So given that difficulty, you know, this I would like to say that this isn't such a great way, but I'm not sure there's a lot of better ways. This might be an okay option given the circumstances.
Okay, well, and just bear in mind, this is only supplementing, you know, the spending on meals. That's it. So,
right.
Lu Yu, how do we do this in China in terms of, you know, getting a sponsorship for a scholarship, or, you know, just basic financial aid for these university students?
Basically, well, if you're asking for financial aid, you have to fill out all sorts of forms, and then you make the application, and your destiny will be at the hands of your tutors or supervisors, or generally speaking, the person in charge of the student's affairs, and then they will decide basically based upon the certificates and all the forms you've been filled out.
And is that problematic at all? I mean, it sounds like the same kind of system everywhere. A lot of forms, a lot of factors being juggled, and then someone or a group of people on board decide who's going to get the financial aid.
That's why in China, because in the States, you have the tax form to prove.
It's a little more objective.
Right, it's a little bit more objective. Now it's based on some of the certificates you gain from the local community, and we have this 公示系统, a public review. Your names will be posted on walls.
Ooh, that's another interesting point.
Yeah, and to see whether, for one thing, well, if you're not afraid of being embarrassed, have your names there on board. At the same time, you claimed yourself to be from underprivileged family background. You can obviously do that.
Okay.
But there are some fraudulent practices, I have to say. People tend to make good use of those loopholes because it's very difficult to justify that you are from the poor families.
Okay. I think you covered a lot of ground, Lu Yu, and there's one point that I have to challenge you.
What's it?
That is, when you said these students, their names are being published, shown to everyone on campus and on the wall, that practice itself, I have a lot of arguments against. But when, Lawyer, you said that this is embarrassing, if you don't feel embarrassed, why should this be an embarrassing act? It's like, you know, your family doesn't have that much money to put you to university, but why is that embarrassing?
Well, I agree
and
that
you are a good student. You managed to pass all the examinations and get to where you are at now. Why is that embarrassing?
Well, I agree that it probably shouldn't be. I mean, obviously, if you're good enough to be there, you're good enough to be there. But regardless of whether or not it should be, it is for a lot of people. You know, they feel like maybe people will look down on them because they come from a you know, quote-unquote worse background or whatever. And this obviously isn't a Chinese thing. This is, you know, happens everywhere across the world.
Right. It's called peer pressure, isn't it?
That's a little bit different.
Yeah. Well, okay. I think this part is something that I'd like to discuss a little bit more. That is, I think one of the, I wouldn't call it a duty, but one of the byproducts of our show is to clear up some of those ideas. That's just, it's not good. It's not conducive to growth.
Not socially desirable.
Yes, and we're not saying we want to correct them, but we want to offer you a different point of view. And in this case is, I just think that, yes, there are some youngsters out there that are from underprivileged backgrounds, or you're from a place that is different from everybody else, and you want to be included to the greater group of people. But there are times that, you know, there is this this sense of pride, and I can totally understand, and I totally respect it. But don't you think this is one of those cases when we're talking about getting financial aid that can put you through school, and you can get that money, you know, and is it time to sort of try to give in to reality a little bit? I mean, what do you have to say to these young people maybe that are in that situation?
Well, I think, you know, self-reliance is a nice thing, and a lot of people are often very proud of that. But there's different types of self-reliance. You know, it's one thing if, you know, your family is very rich and they help you get into college through above-the-board ways or otherwise. But it's another that, you know, maybe you're not well off, but you get into college solely on your own scores. That's a type of self-reliance. It's good to practice self-reliance, to be able to do the things that you need to do on your own. But, you know, money is an important issue, and you can't expect to, especially as a student, have lots of money there. I think if you're worried about that, then, you know, maybe take some help now and then be very self-reliant afterwards. Don't take money from other people afterwards unless you absolutely need it, and pay back society, you know?
A lot of students are very, well, especially for some of students who are from the underprivileged backgrounds, they are self-reliant and they try their utmost to try to be break-even to some extent, so they're proud. Say they don't necessarily feel that they are embarrassed of seeing their names on the walls in the public review. Yet they're trying so hard to break even. So for those people, I want to say, you know, you can ask for help from your school authority, from the your fellow teammates. That's my point.
Right, and just because you take help doesn't necessarily mean you're worse off or anything else, you know. And it's not, that doesn't mean that you need it either. Maybe it's just a useful sort of thing, and you're deciding that on your own. You know what? I don't need this, but I'm going to take it because it'll be a good thing for me.
That's what I. Sorry.
Yes.
you can say whatever you want to say.
Well, that's why I feel these school authority has done the right thing, because it has making this money transfer secretly in a very confidential way.
Yeah, that's the point that I think is one of the merits of this new way of supporting students in need with this project in this university, because I think after our discussion, what's really salient in making this work is you respect those people's who are in need, their minds and their feelings in a way.
Their dignity.
That, yes, and I think it's kind of important to honor that, as if I think our society is more developed, then there should be more consideration towards those kind of intricate feelings of people. Mm-hmm. At least for me, that is a sign of improvement in a society. And in this regard, isn't confidentiality really important? Like for, you know, the application of student aid in general, shouldn't confidentiality, not letting other people who don't need to know, keep them out of the picture, mm-hmm. and, you know, respect the vulnerable feelings of these young people?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to be contrarian, I would say that if, you know, going through this public this public exposure is one way of weeding out people who really aren't in that grade of need, maybe if you're willing to go for that, maybe that is a good thing. But overall, that sort of system shouldn't have to exist. You know, it should be confidential.
Okay. All right. And 勇敢的闪闪 has something to say regarding what Luo Yu said earlier about how do you judge who needs financial aid and what is a best way to do that. And says the current situation or the current system of verification is just bad. 勇敢的闪闪 says that his or her classmate lives in a rather generous way and, you know, can even buy meals for other students, mm-hmm. other classmates, but this person is under financial aid. So he or she is suspecting whether this kind of person is eligible to get financial support from alumni or, you know, the state. What do you think is the ideal way to the system that we need here?
That's really difficult because, again, in the U.S., when you have these tax forms, that makes it so easy, and we don't have that here. I would say, though, that just because someone does not appear to be not well off, they appear to have money, doesn't mean that that's the case, and you shouldn't necessarily judge people one way or another based on that.
And maybe in the future, if we all do this sort of things, like financial aid in the confidential way, like without a reporting and supervision system, this is not going to be working that well. Because already, currently, a lot of students have been, you know, making good use of the loopholes there, right?
Yeah, I think this is actually
complicated. Like, if Brian gets the financial aid, whereas all the other people don't know about the situation, but at the same time, he you know, has the latest iPhone, he goes to bars every night, spends a lot of spends money on a lot of luxurious goods, and at the same time, we don't know about his situation. And is this fair to other students?
That's a really good point. But don't you think that this supervision kind of role should be carried out by the authorities or whoever is giving out the financial aid if they can make sure, or more or less make sure, that they're giving money to the right people? Then why do other people need to supervise this person who's getting aid? Further, I think, 勇敢的闪闪, thank you for sending in this message. But, I mean, there's also this other question about if a person that is under financial difficulty, but doesn't this person still have the right to ask his or her, future partner out and buy dinner, or, you know, have some meat instead of just vegetables at the cafeteria? Doesn't a person in financial aid, with financial aid at hand, can't they do that?
They can do that, but not lavishly.
But it's hard. But lavish is something that is relative.
Yeah.
Well, if you claim that you're from an underprivileged background, at the same time I see you in cafeteria that you buy the most expensive dishes every time, eating pork, mutton, and fish for every single meal, how can you justify your financial status to me?
Well, I think, obviously, cheating is wrong. Regardless of appearance, cheating is wrong. But I would say unless it is abundantly clear, like this person drives a nice, like if the person
Mercedes
drives,
Benz.
Yeah, if they drive that, then clearly, you know, you could sell the car and not need the aid there. But in general, you know, I mean, I read an article not too long ago talking about a woman in the U.S. Who was on food stamps, that sort of poverty in the U.S. And she, you know, she dressed not super well, but she didn't dress like a, you know, quote unquote poor person. And she had an iPhone or something. And she, you know, took care of herself and had some things that were kind of nice. And she would get judged for that. And I get that, you know, you don't want people, you know, cheating the system. You don't want people using it just to get money when they don't really need it. But, you know, it's, I guess the question is where you draw the line and what sort of standard people should have. But I think if the system works all right and people are doing what they're supposed to, we don't need to judge. But whether or not the system works, that I think is, I think if people don't trust the system, they're more likely to judge other people and say, oh, that person's doing this, and the system probably doesn't work anyway, so they're probably cheating.
Then how can we bolster people's faith in the system? How can we make the system better?
That's a hard one.
It's a dilemma.
There's lots of places where I think there's more obvious solutions that just don't happen for other reasons. But for this, it's difficult to prove to someone that you really don't have money without any sort of institutional way of you know, showing your finances without, you know, tax records, income records, or whatever there. And maybe if your parents are, say, white-collar workers and they work in a company, maybe you could look at their income. Maybe you could provide proof of that. But if your parents don't have that kind of work and that more, I guess, more official or office-based sort of thing, it's more difficult.
Right. It's very difficult. I mean, looking to the future, I sincerely hope that all the other universities or colleges could follow suit, because this one has made a very good example. At the same time, we have been wondering that what we need is a better verification system. And the meal card should not be the only way to judge them. And probably we could include all their consumption means, like not only meal, the money spent on meal, but also spent on supermarkets, spent on everything else. And then if you see, well, generally they have the fewer consumption power, that we can say they're from the poor family.
Yeah, so what Louis is saying is pretty much more big data is needed to analyze people's consumption pattern in general.